Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're back.
Hey, hey, hey. We are back. In effect.
Yes.
In the building.
Sure. In the building.
In the midst of fall.
It is fall. It is October. We're officially in October.
Yep. And we are feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on with you? Just
October?
A ball of energy as always?
Maybe not. You know, fall's happening. It's October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means...
Homecoming's coming.
Yeah. I'm feeling... I don't know. My homecoming feelings are dampening a bit.
Something going on?
It's like... I don't know. We're getting all this news about like changes that they may be making to homecoming. And not like the changes I anticipate. Like you need to wear masks. Like, you know, there's mandates on indoor events. Like those aren't the changes that I'm worried about. Like that's to be expected. It's just like they just keep... have these looming, we're going to make an announcement. We're, you know, we're going to change some things around. And so it's making me feel like, fam, like
come on.
The main part of homecoming is outside, first of all. Like, I don't even know what, I'm not even going inside the building for any real needs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of like, I still don't know what to expect. So I'm kind of over it.
Yeah.
And a lot of other HBCU homecomings are canceling. It's just not having it at all. Howard's not having a homecoming at all.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Morgan State guy, but I feel like Howard Homecoming is like a national holiday.
It is, and like, we're not having it. They are not having it this year. So it makes me feel like,
yeah,
you know, to me, I want all of us to have our homecomings. I don't want Morgan to be the only one having a homecoming. Like, I want all my HBCU folks to be able to come together. But other than that, it's October.
Are you ready for Indigenous People Day?
I'm ready for a day off, sure.
Yeah.
If that's what that means.
Yo, you got to honor the Native American.
Yo, not by, you know, not by taking a day off. Like, honor the Native American. If I was Native American, I'd be pissed. Like, that's how y'all honor the country that we built y'all stole.
We legitimately.
By taking a day off.
We've got to honor them in some kind of way.
In some sort of real
way. Some kind
way,
of way. I'm
but
just
not
saying,
a random Monday.
Like, these people get nothing.
Nothing.
Like, they, right now, it's legitimately called Columbus Day, but we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day in our household. I don't know about you, but like, you know, we got to do something to acknowledge these folks who are here and lost everything.
Yeah, ain't going to be no one day. Ain't going to be no Monday.
Yeah.
I needed something else.
Like, tweet us with
something else.
With your ideas. And if you are
why?
An Indigenous
we ain't about
person,
to do nothing with them.
I want to do something to honor them.
Well, tweet Alan. What's your ideas about
tweet
how
us, both of us
the world can acknowledge Indigenous Peoples Day or just Native Americans in general, and hopefully he'll roll that out for you.
Speaking of those who came before us, we should talk today about my transition game is tight.
Trash.
You know it is.
It is trash.
So we
for sure.
We should talk today about a topic we've never covered.
That's not true.
We've not covered it on our podcast.
Yeah, we've not. Never is very is, you know.
Is your role to ruin my introduction?
I mean, just
today?
Tell the truth.
Okay.
That's all. Just tell the truth. So we haven't covered it on our podcast. It's something that we have to never. Never means like it's never happened ever.
Speaking of those who came before us.
Oh my gosh. You're going to say it again.
We honor them.
Like we didn't hear it the first time.
We should talk today for the first time on our podcast ever in the history of our podcast. About ways that you can work on your parents' financial situation.
Yeah, and we don't mean stealing their money. We don't mean putting their hands on their assets, right? We really mean helping your parents get their finances in order. I feel like a lot of us, you know, your parents probably don't know as much as you do when it comes to today's financial order, you know, assets, investments, just estate planning, all the things now that have these really fancy names and titles, back in the day just used to be having your shit together. Yeah. And so you probably are in a better situation to help your parents out to make sure that as they retire, they're able to retire gracefully mm-hmm. and they're able to retire independently.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You know, a lot of us are helping our parents out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or a lot of us know, you know, like I'm going to have to cover for my parents. I'm going to have to, you know, mom's going to have to come live with us. You know, there's a lot of things that we think about when we're thinking about our parents. And sometimes it's not all great.
That's a fact.
Right. And it's not because our parents are irresponsible. It's not because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. A lot of our parents worked extremely hard, you know, for all of our lives. But again, they just didn't know the proper things to do to make sure that they were set up appropriately. And so we want you to have the conversation with them to help them get their affairs in order.
That's a fact. Because like our folks are getting older. Like if we're blessed to still have our parents in our lives, they're getting older. And with age comes health issues. It comes just like a general, like they become, I won't say they become children, but they become more childlike as they get older. Like you've got to help your parents with stuff that you've never had to help them with before. And so we'll talk today about how to make sure you can start early to start getting them prepared so that they're not a burden on you, but also so that they can, as you mentioned, Tiffany, grow old gracefully without and with honor and dignity so that they're not feeling like they've got to, you know, live a modest life and not live in the full splendor that they really deserve.
So here's a stat. About 1 in 7 middle-aged adults are providing financial support to both an aging parent and a child.
You're caught in the middle. You're in a sandwich right there.
Yeah. It's funny that they actually use that term, that we are the sandwich generation. People, and a lot of people in this age group are taking care of children while also being somewhat financially responsible for their parents.
Yeah. And we're seeing so many parents pass, yo. Like, it's really sad. Like, real good friends of ours just buried their mother. And the father now has some mental issues, some, you know, memory loss. You know, like I'm seeing a little bit of memory loss in my parents' household and, you know, and I've got kids that I'm worried about. Like, yeah. It's a lot.
Also, somebody that we both know, their father just passed away, who I knew really well growing up. And, you know, his parents lived in North Carolina. And so the father passed away in North Carolina. So now he has to move his mom up mm-hmm. back to New Jersey so that he can help take care of her.
And this friend is looking at colleges for his daughter.
At the same exact time.
Same exact time.
Right? And so a lot of us understand these feelings. And if you're not feeling them yourself directly right now, you may be one day. And so you might not know how to have this conversation. Because I do feel like this is like a difficult conversation to have. Right? Like, especially when your parents are like, listen, I raised you. You ain't about to tell me what to do with my money. Yeah. Well, it's like, it's not that. It's not that I'm telling you what to do with your money. But it's more, I know these things. I just want to make sure you know these things. And I want to make sure these things are in order. I have been having, probably the last 3 years, I've been having these conversations with my parents. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised that they actually listen to me. We've made some really major changes around insurance, around documents, around things that they're paying out that I don't think they should be paying out anymore, making sure their retirement is sitting in proper accounts, mm-hmm. making sure I know which accounts are where and what we're going to be doing with that money. I did a retirement projection with my mom, which was super funny because my mother has been saying, like, for the last 5 years, I really need you to, like, let me know when you're really, really making a lot of money because I want to retire. And I'm looking at her like, I'm not... What does one thing have to do with the other,
like,
man?
Did you not save anything? And I know your mom has
My mother
savings.
Is an extreme saver. She's extremely responsible. She has great credit and she's worked all of her life, right? So I don't understand what one thing has to do with the other. I'm like, okay. I would just nod my head. I would never say anything like, oh, all right. So we eventually sat down and I was like, let's just look at what you have and let's do a retirement projection.
Mom and was doing it. She was doing
it. Yeah, my mother could retire right now at any moment. She was shocked. I was like, you probably have more money in retirement. You'd probably make more money in retirement than you're making now. I had to force my mother to take Social Security. Yeah. Like, she's well past the age where she was supposed to be taking Social Security. So I had to force her to take Social Security. And she's like, I don't need all that money. I said, but it's your money.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start. So, but even having those type of conversations, having the conversation with my dad around insurance and should you be paying all this insurance? And
If you don't pay it, what are we going to do instead? What are our plans? What do you want to do? Do you want to retire? What does that look like? What changes will have to happen? And so it's a sensitive conversation to have with your parents, but it's also, it could be a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's like, the crazy thing about the situation with your mom is that if you had not had that conversation, the government would have owed your mom like significant sums of money.
Oh, and they did.
Y'all never would have gotten it though.
Y'all ain't get nothing. She would have never gotten it, correct.
Her household.
Yes.
And God forbid if one day she's not here anymore, y'all wouldn't have got any of it.
Yeah.
Had y'all not had that conversation.
And so then when we call Social Security, you know, to say, you know, we want to start drawing on her Social Security, you know, I also said, and we want all our back Social Security.
You damn and right. Excuse my language.
They easily cut that check.
You know what's crazy about that, though? Yo, did anybody ask you if they could take Social Security out of your check?
There we go.
They just took it, right?
They just took it.
But when it comes to you, you've got to tell them that I'm ready for my money now. And even if you're above the age, like Social Security, like it, once you get to 70, there's no more waiting. Like you, like your benefit doesn't increase anymore.
Yeah.
Like they should have sent your mom a letter, a check, something saying like, listen, lady,
no one's freely.
We've got your money.
They're not about to freely give that money out. Like my mother didn't start taking her Social Security until she was 72. And
so
that was because I literally had to say, stop playing. Like you are going to take this Social Security, right? And so again, they turned it on with no issue. We also asked for all the back Social Security, which they gave with no issue. And then we also had to have the conversation of them taking the taxes out.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you want to have these conversations with your parents.
Please do.
There's just a lot that they don't know. They might think differently. A lot of times they just have old school ways of thinking.
And by the way, your mom's situation, she might have got like 40 or 50K.
I ain't going to say what she got because like, y'all not about to run down on my mom. But
I'm saying like that's the magnitude though.
She's straight.
Okay.
Okay.
Like that's lewd to just be sitting there in the government account not collecting any interest.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we've given out the stats. Let's talk about how to have the conversation. So I think one of the biggest things, and can I just give a precursor to the how to have the conversation? Like you yourself need to have a modicum of responsibility and being trustworthy before you can go talking to your parents.
Yeah, so very true. So if you are the trifling child, if you're the child that no one gives any responsibilities to, they expect you to always be late for Thanksgiving dinner. You know, no one has any high expectations from you. You're not the one who can have this conversation.
If we can't trust you to bring the ice to the cookout on time.
Right. And if you're always bringing a different chick or different dude to all the family functions, so you're just kind of all over the place again, you're probably not the one to start the conversation. You can sit in on the conversation, but you need to pass this on to the responsible sibling and have them have the conversation. And you could just be there as a hype man, like just backing them up.
Another litmus test. If you've borrowed money from your parents, your elderly parents in the last 2 years, I think you need a little grace period.
I don't think that's true. Like, I don't necessarily think that's true.
Like, how can you talk to your parents about money and you're still borrowing money from them?
True, but again, then you might need to tag team it, okay? You might not be the one that's solely responsible. You might need to tag team it. But again, if you are not the one that people trust, if every time you try to have a serious conversation, they start with, oh, here he go, you're probably not the one who should, again, lead the conversation. You could be a part of it for sure.
Okay.
Also, another point is don't do this in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right. So don't do this at the Thanksgiving table.
Don't embarrass them.
Don't do this at the Christmas table. Don't do this at the family reunion.
That's
when aunts and uncles and grandkids are around. You really need to put some time together to say, hey, I want us to get together and talk about some things. Maybe it can, the beginning of the conversation, because it's not just one conversation, but the beginning of the conversation, maybe you take your parents to lunch. Maybe y'all, you know, go out to dinner or something to start the conversation.
Take them without the conversation also. Like, don't let this be the first time you've taken your mom out to lunch in 10 years.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about her pockets. That's going to set the wrong
tone. Because now she thinks you're probably trying to do something to her.
Yeah. So have the conversation early. It's a tricky conversation. You know, your parents might feel like you're crossing the line a little bit.
And that could be if you're pushing too hard too fast, right? So if you start the conversation is what I'm going to need y'all to do is,
I
said in a previous podcast, that never works well for African Americans. That's not a saying that we like to use. But understand that this is not a one and done conversation, right? So start slow. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, don't ease into it. And again, you're not beating around the bush, but you know how difficult it is for you to talk about your own expenses. Just imagine how you would want somebody to talk to you if someone was approaching you about decisions that you are making with your money and your future.
I love it. Next advice would be call a meeting. Yeah. Okay. Include some other people that might be useful to the conversation.
So I think, again, if you have siblings, if you have responsible siblings, I think you should include them. Maybe you tell them ahead of time, hey, we need to have this conversation with mom and dad. I'd like for you to be there, you know, just to help out. If your parent has a spouse that's not your parent, you may still want to include them also.
Mm-hmm. Other good people to invite is a financial planner might be good. An estate attorney. Someone who's...
Here's the thing. Don't show up at my house. Not on the first one.
Yeah, not the first
not
one.
The first
not
one.
The first
if,
one. Build
some
up
man
to
I don't know.
Build up to it.
Especially if some random white guy in a suit, you bring him to my house talking about, you know, we want to ask you some money questions. I'm kicking everybody out.
Yeah, we do have a list of black estate attorneys all throughout the country.
That's fine.
But
don't bring
still,
those strangers in
point,
my house.
Point taken.
Yes.
Point taken. You got to ease into it a
ease
little bit.
Ease into it, for
but we're
sure.
giving you some of the advanced conversation points here. So things that you should be checking on in these conversations. I think number one, you've got to talk about the estate plan. Start with the will. Mom, dad, do you have a will? May I see it?
Yeah.
And then duck.
I mean, yeah, you can ask. I feel like it's harmless to ask. They may say no. They might not want you to know what you're not going to get, but at least ask if they have a will. Ask them the last time that they've updated the will, mm-hmm. right? So even if they don't show it to you, make sure that it reflects their current wishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on how complex their profile is, you know, do you have a trust? Do we need to put a trust in order? Who do you plan on leaving things to? So maybe that's a more general question versus let me see your will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do you plan on leaving things to? And they may say, well, the grandkids. All right, if there's a specific way you want that dispersed, we might want to consider a trust. You know, is there real estate that will be passed down?
Mm-hmm.
If so, we might want to include some more technical documents to make sure that things are done the way that you want them done, because we really want to make sure we fulfill your wishes.
Yeah, and I think you also have to ask them about healthcare. Like, who are the people who you want to make decisions on your behalf? Like, that should be a part of the estate planning process. And also, like, what sorts of end-of-life care do they want or not want?
Yeah.
And I think it's very important to be as detailed as possible. Like, my parents had a huge mix-up where my mom was in the hospital recently, and they were about to put her on a respirator. And my mom had explained to my dad years ago that she didn't want to be on a respirator. And my dad had to make the call, like, she's going to be on this respirator because she's not going to make it otherwise. And then come to find out, my mom was saying, don't put me on a respirator if I'm in a vegetative state. Like,
that's very different.
He missed the second part of that. So get it in writing. It should be a part of the estate package. If you haven't listened to our estate planning shows, we did two parts.
Yeah. And there's a DIY one. So
yes,
even
three
if you
parts
don't,
then.
Yeah. If you don't want to spend the money on lawyers or estate planners and things like that, we do have a DIY episode that is extremely thorough.
Sure is.
For you to be able to get all the things that you need done on your own. Another question, again, ask them, have they filled out beneficiary forms?
That's a big one.
Right. So people oftentimes think about that just for their insurance policy. Like, yeah, I have some beneficiaries on my insurance policy, but what about your bank accounts? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can add a transfer on death
yep.
form
sure
to your bank account so that when someone passes away, there is no arbitration. There is no just back and forth figuring things out. You can set that up in advance where it's equivalent to a beneficiary form to me. But again, it's just called transfer on death. What's interesting is I literally explained this concept to a woman probably like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
On the side of the street in Martha's Vineyard,
mm.
as she was explaining to me, you know, that her husband was going through some health challenges and they weren't sure how things were going to go. And so they were trying to get his affairs in order. And the one thing that I talked to her about, I said, well, the first thing that I'm going to ask you to do as not your advisor and standing on the side of the street is go to your bank and just fill out a transfer on death form. She said, I've never heard of that before. I've been dealing with so many people. No one mentioned it. I said, if you do nothing else, just go and do that. And she said, I'll absolutely go and do that. And she texted me this morning and told me that her husband passed.
That's now, so sad.
It's so sad and it's so unfortunate. But the one thing I will say about this woman is that in the short period of time that I've known her, she's done nothing but ask questions. She's brought in third parties. She's, you know, inquired to lawyers, estate planners, financial advisors, everybody, to make sure she's making the best decisions in the case that something like what has happened does happen. And so you want to at least have that level of comfort if and when your parents or your guardians or whoever you see as your parents, maybe it's your uncle or aunt or grandmother, passes away. You want the comfort of at least knowing these affairs are in order. There's a lot of grieving that we have to do. There's a lot of other planning that we have to do. But at least I know these affairs are in order and there's nothing extra that we have to do and worry about now.
Yeah.
Okay, so stick with us. There's a lot more that we want to talk about. Getting your parents' finances in order. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi, this is Ghani Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
So we are back.
Yes.
Okay. Getting your parents' finances in order.
Yeah, I'm really sad to hear about your people passing that way.
Yeah.
And it's crazy you were just talking. I remember when you were telling me about meeting her.
Yeah.
And when you told me the story, I thought she had some years with them, but it was a matter of months and she had no idea.
And none of us really have any idea, right? Which is why we want to have this conversation. As you mentioned, our parents are aging.
Yeah.
Right? And there's nothing that we can do about it. As we age, they age. And you know, most of their days are behind them. And so again, while this may feel like a sad and morbid conversation, if for nothing else, I think we need to see it as honoring the legacy that your parents want to live. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how much they have in assets. So don't be like, my mom broke. It don't really matter. Like she has something, right? That whatever it is, it may be heirlooms, it may be photos, it may be a home, whatever it is. You know, whether she has a ton of money or whether your parents have a ton of money in the bank or not, these are still conversations that you need to have. Beneficiaries, as Alan mentioned, power of attorney, or who's going to make medical decisions on your behalf. What do you want to happen in the case that you are, you know, in a coma or in a vegetative state?
But I'm seeing a lot of people with their parents now start to experience a little bit of memory loss. It right. then could potentially be dementia. It could be Alzheimer's. Like, that's why we're saying you should start early. Get the documents in place. Like, everybody needs to have something in place in the event that they're still here, but they're not here.
Yeah.
Because that's a really difficult situation. Like, that can be, especially if it's not clear. Like, we've had a number of stories that we've heard where parents have multiple children and they decide to leave everything to one set of grandkids at the exclusion of everybody else. And if there's any mental incapacity involved, there can be years and years of litigation. So while mom and dad are of sound mind, or aunt and uncle or grandparents, while they're of sound mind, figure out now who are the people who can act as a power of attorney in the event that they're mentally incapacitated. What are the documents that you need to line up? And make sure that everybody knows their wishes so that there's no confusion. There's no fight.
The next thing is life insurance. Do they have it? Who are the beneficiaries? Again, as we mentioned earlier, when's the last time they've updated the beneficiaries? A lot of times parents get life insurance policies when their children are born,
mm-hmm.
right? And then maybe, you know, 50 years later, they want that money to go to their grandkids. Like maybe you're independent and you can handle yourself now. or which I think happens fairly often, parents are just paying on life insurance policies unnecessarily.
That's a fact.
Right? So I just went through this with my father. I looked and my father was paying like 3 extremely expensive life insurance policies. And the benefit wasn't even all that good. Like, these were life insurance policies from like the 70s and 80s, which I'm sure he's paid more than what was going to come out of it. And I just said, so we're done with this. We're going to cash these in now. You're going to stop paying them. We're going to cash these in and we're going to use them for things that you want to use them on today. And we will set a portion aside to take care of your affairs after you pass away.
Yeah.
But a lot of times your parents don't need to still be paying life insurance policies. Like, you're grown, successful, mm-hmm. independent, but your parents are still sending $200, $300, or $400 a month away for a life insurance policy that really you don't need.
Yeah, especially if they're struggling a little bit financially. Like, meaning, like, I see folks paying $200, $300, $400 in life insurance, and it's at the expense of them enjoying themselves, and the beneficiaries are straight now. Like, when you bought the policy, these kids might have been under 18. They might have really been depending on you financially. But now if your kids are grown, if your grandkids are grown, like, you can pay for your final expenses with savings. It doesn't have to be life insurance. I think a lot of us think the only thing that you can inherit at death is life insurance. Like, look, more people need life insurance. A lot of folks are underinsured. Let me not mess that point up. But it's not the only way to leave an inheritance. And if there are savings involved, if there are investments involved, if there is property, you might not need your parents to keep paying all these premiums, especially if it's costing them quality of living.
And maybe you don't want to get rid of the life insurance altogether. Lower it, mm-hmm. right? Like, maybe you just have a conversation and just lower the amount so they're not paying as much. Or maybe you pay the monthly payment.
What's wrong with that?
Right? Like, you're the one that's going to get the benefit. As Alan mentioned, like, this may be a financial burden on them paying this every month. So maybe you and your siblings come together if y'all really want this life insurance policy and y'all pay the monthly bill.
Yeah. And depending on the cash value, there's a couple other options. Like, you could actually sell the policy. Like, there's commercials all the time about brokers who are looking to buy insurance policies. That might be an option to bring in some additional cash value above and beyond what's on the statement. But if your parents don't have life insurance, it may not make sense to go and buy it for them after the age of 60. Like, one of my best friends recently was thinking about buying life insurance on his mom. Like, him and his brother would put some money in. And we ran the math. We look at the cost of the premiums compared to what if he just put the money into an account. And it worked out way better to just put the money in an account and let it grow. Because once you get over a certain age, life insurance premiums are extremely high.
Yeah.
And there will be a point where it gets even more expensive. And if at that point you decide to just cancel it, now you've lost all those premiums.
Yeah.
So why not put some money into an account on behalf of your parents or using some of your parents' money, but don't just rely on life insurance.
Yeah. Another thing is, look at their credit cards and their bills. See what they're paying. Like, a lot of us don't know what bills our parents have. A lot of times they don't know what bills they have, especially if they have like recurring fees on their credit card, like magazine subscriptions or some random memberships, things like that.
Columbia House that you signed them up for back in 88.
Sure. But take a look at your parents' credit card statements, look at their bills, and just make sure everything is on the up and up, right? Like, I'm not saying chastise them for the decisions that they're making, but just make sure everything's cool. There's no fraud happening. Again, there aren't any recurring fees that they forgot about, you know, old gym memberships and things like that, things that automatically renew, so that they're not putting out more money than they need to be putting out.
That's a fact. That's a fact. I think this might be a little more tricky, right? They might not be wanting to let you see their checking account. You know, they might not want you to know where all their money's going, but
I don't think they should have to. Again, like, I don't need to know how much money you have in the bank. But again, I think the best thing that you can do when it comes to these checking accounts, again, is a transfer on death form, right? Now, if it's brokerage accounts or investment accounts, you know, you want to, there are beneficiary forms that come with those type of accounts. So at least make sure they filled them out. A lot of times when it comes to these type of accounts, again, investment accounts, brokerage accounts, they don't think about the beneficiary form.
Yeah, but going back to the activity in their checking account or their credit card, maybe just walk around the house and see what's coming in. Like, do you see stacks of old magazines that's still coming in that you know they're not reading, like People Magazine.
Yeah.
There's 30 of them sitting right there and she hasn't touched them. Like my mom still gets a number of magazine subscriptions, but I know she loves reading. But if your parents are no longer reading them, maybe they're still paying for stuff they don't need anymore.
Yeah. So just pay attention to what's going on.
By the way,
them.
My parents still have every Ebony and Jet magazine they've ever received. Like there's a whole set of containers that I still have in my house. Some of them are at their house. They used to rip the address off like somehow that was going to keep them safe. But meanwhile, they would write their social security number on everything.
Yeah.
Like, what part of the game is this, mom and dad? All right. So other things that you should take a look at is their investments.
Yeah. And so to me, right, like, again, they might not be so comfortable just rolling out their portfolio to you, but you do want to make sure that they're invested safely, right? So if they have a financial advisor, maybe you ask if we can set up a family meeting with your financial advisor and just talk about how you're invested. They don't have to put all the business out in the street, but just something to talk about.
Yeah. If they're living on their investments, right, if that's a significant part of how they're living their lives, they don't need to be in a super aggressive portfolio at this point. We often say your age should equal your bond percentage. Bonds, as we know, are low risk, low reward investments. Stocks are high risk, high reward investments. And if the majority of what they own, if 90% of their money is in stock and they're pulling from this account on a regular basis, like that's a recipe for disaster down the road, right? So take a look at the investments, talk to somebody. Send us the statements, momentum-advisors.com. We'll have a conversation with you. But someone needs to take a look at this with them to make sure that they're still in the right investments. I've had a number of situations where parents have been managing their own money, and then, God forbid, something happens to them where they can't do that anymore, and no one knows what's going on with the investments. So I think it's really important that a younger set of eyes gets involved and just takes a look.
I don't even know if this is a conversation, but another very sensitive topic that you need to be super mindful of is mental health, right? As Alan mentioned earlier, are your parents starting to forget things more and more? You know, are you seeing signs of dementia? Are they making mistakes more? Are your parents falling, right? Like, is there issues with their mobility? As we mentioned earlier, like, are there things just stacking up around the house? Are there bills or magazines, or is the house in disarray in a way that it's never been before, right? Mm-hmm. Is things just messier, things just left all around? That could be signs of something's going on from a mental health perspective, or even physically, their own physical health. And so just pay attention, ask them how they're feeling, right? So I have this thing with my dad that's wearing me out right now. Every time I talk to my father in person or on the phone, he's like coughing up. Like he's clearing his throat. He's constantly clearing his throat.
Okay.
And I'm like, what is that? Right. Now, a year ago, he's like, oh, it's post nasal drip. Oh, it's my allergies.
Okay.
But it's been consistent for a year. Right. So I'm like, you don't have allergies all season. Find out what the problem is. This is a problem that this is happening nonstop. It's every single time I speak to him. So
he seemed very agitated.
Yeah. Because one, it's annoying. And two, fix it, right? Like, let's find out what's wrong. You haven't been like this before. There's no way that every day now you are constantly clearing your throat. Oh, I'm just trying to get mucus up. Why is there mucus year round? So I believe he's lying, right? But my father's like, oh, I went to the doctor and he gave me some medicine. Great. Are you using it? Because every time, again, I'm on the phone with you, oh, it just wore off. It's time for me to do a new dose.
It wore off.
And I'm certain that he's not telling me the truth. Like,
do you go with him to the appointments ever?
No, I'm not. What am I going? No, I didn't go with him to the doctor. I mean, I'd like to believe that you're not a liar, right? But like, he feels the pressure. Like, if you hear it on this, like in this podcast, it's three times as worse when I'm talking to him because it's bothering me. Because again, something that's going on, ongoing things usually means there's a bigger issue. And I don't want to find out later on down the line that you've been battling something that we really needed to take seriously, but you was ducking and dodging me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's an important conversation for sure.
Just pay attention, right? Like, I also noticed, like, my dad's moving slower or whatever. And it doesn't mean that anything's wrong. It
can just mean that the natural aging process is happening, but I am mindful. I do pay attention, right? So when my father says, like the other day, hey, there's a leak in the skylight, I'm gonna go up there and fix it. Mm. No, you're not.
Yeah, be careful so with that.
I'm gonna send a contractor over to fix it. Please stay on the ground.
Yeah. So this is what happened with my dad, by the way. My dad was in North Carolina. We have a house that my grandmother left, and he's out there. It's about the storm is coming, like, and he's out there trying to put something on the house, and the wind blew and he fell and busted his head, and he's been having headaches and all types of stuff ever since. And if I could have known in advance that he was about to go up on a ladder in the rain, I might have suggested something else, right? So I think it's super important to pay attention to your folks, to just care for them. Like, they may not be making the best decisions anymore, right? And on that note, this issue of memory loss is a big one. And I've seen a lot of people's parents struggle with this, where it starts with little things, forgetting small things, and then it gets bigger. And eventually they won't remember things like how to eat and how to, where to go to the bathroom. And, you know, once they get to that point, they can't manage their finances anymore. So you've got to be paying attention to these signs.
Another thing, health insurance. You have to have the health insurance conversation. One, do they have health insurance? And two, is it enough?
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of times, if you're parents are retired, they've got to get their own health insurance, or you've got to use an alternative form of health insurance.
Medicare, Medicaid,
these are the
government programs for the older folks.
And they are very different, and some are extremely restrictive, right? So you need to figure out what's going to be the best option once your parents stop working, because they still need health insurance and they still need to have a proper level of coverage.
Absolutely. So on that note, we should talk a little bit about long-term care, right? Because the average stay in a nursing home is about 488 days, which is about 17 months. And the average cost of that stay is in the range of $9,000 a month. So 9,000 times 17, it could cost you around $140,000 to stay in a nursing home at the end of your life. What if your parents don't have the money? Like, that's money that's going to fall on you,
right,
and your siblings.
And as we talked about earlier, a lot of us are in the position where we're taking care of our parents and we still have children, right? And so you don't want to be paying for college and a nursing home at the same time.
That's a fact. And so some people try to do Medicaid strategies. Medicaid is that insurance that covers folks who are financially destitute, right? You can't get Medicaid unless you have less than $2,000 in the bank.
And here's the thing about Medicaid, right? Like, this is extremely restrictive, as Alan mentioned, on what you can have. You can't own a home and get Medicaid, right? A lot of times, and this is actually happening with my mom's neighbor right now, because she wants to get Medicaid for her husband, who has Alzheimer's. They are telling her, well, you own your home. She's like, okay, well, do I sell the home to my kids? Do I put the home in somebody else's name so that we'd be eligible for Medicaid, right? So you have to be financially, I mean, I hate to use the word destitute, but you've got to be struggling financially or not bringing in very minimal income to qualify for Medicaid.
So what we see some people do is years in advance start to take assets and pass them on to other family members. This is risky because those family members could go out and spend the money on themselves, right? And truly make the parents destitute. There's also some rules, like there's a 5-year look back period. Like, if you put all your assets in the names of other people and then try to get Medicaid the next year, it's not going to work, right? So we're not saying do this, but if your parents already have a low level of assets, then and if Medicare is in reach, then you might want to think about some of this planning to make sure that they're eligible for Medicaid.
And here are the assets that they count when it comes to Medicaid. So bank accounts, any investments, stock and bonds, cash value on life insurance policies, and again, your retirement assets. If there's 401k, if there's some sort of retirement savings. So they consider all of that when it comes to if you're eligible for Medicaid. So when we say you really got to not have it, you can't have it anywhere.
So what are some other ways that people pay for long-term care, right? there's a policy called a long-term care insurance policy. Now, this, if your parents are already over the age of 60, this is not going to be an effective thing to buy. But if they're under the age of 60, why not take a look at long-term care insurance? The average insurance premium for long-term care, and this is for a policy with a $165,000 benefit for a healthy 55-year-old man, it's about $1,400 to $3,700 a year. Like, that's not so bad. And for a woman age 55, it's about $6,400 a year. So you pay this every year. Your benefit is $165,000, which is about the number that we said it costs if you go into a nursing home for 17 months. Other options for paying for long-term care is a hybrid life insurance policy that also has a long-term care rider or a long-term care option. This makes it a lot more affordable. We're seeing a lot more people do this today than buy outright long-term care policies. It's a way of having kind of a two-for-one. Like, it gives you a death benefit for your heirs, but also gives you a living benefit of being able to pay for medical expenses if you're in need at the end of life.
So we are talking about getting your parents' finances in order. Just because it's important, it's good for them. And again, we want them to age gracefully and independently. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
So we're back.
Yes. We're talking about medical expenses before we went on break. And we were talking about ways that folks can pay for long-term care expenses, things like a nursing home. Like, one other way that people control the cost is by bringing in a home health aide as opposed to a nursing home. But that brings down the cost. And it also might increase their, you know, their quality of care.
Yeah. Also, I know I've heard that people are becoming home health aides specifically for their parents, and they're receiving some sort of income from it, not from their parents, but from some sort of program. Here's the thing. When we talk about long-term care and nursing homes, a lot of you are thinking, I would never put my parent in a nursing home. I would never, you know, I would always have them with me. Your parent might get to a point where you aren't capable.
Yeah, that's
fair. Of taking care of them. Maybe their medical needs are so severe that they need real doctors or nurses or qualified people around them at all times. So it's not like you're just throwing your parents in a nursing home or throwing them in a facility. You don't know what's going to happen. And again, you might not be qualified to take care of them yourself the way that you want to. And so for them to have the best quality of life, they would need to go into a facility that can truly provide for all of their needs.
Yep, and we're talking about how to pay for it. So another account that I think is a sleeper account that more of us need, and I think more of our parents need this account, that's an HSA account. It's a health savings account. This is an account that you're eligible for if you're in a high deductible health insurance plan. And high deductible doesn't mean it's got to be crazy high. Like, for an individual, that's if your health insurance plan has a $1,400 deductible, or for a family, $2,800 deductible. So that's not like super, super high. So if you're in one of these high deductible plans, an individual can put away $3,600 into this HSA plan. And this is money that can be used to pay for medical expenses down the road. And you can pay for medical expenses way down the road, right? So while you're working, you can put away this $3,600 for a couple at $7,200. And the money is kind of like a Roth IRA account for medical expenses. So if the money is invested and it's growing, it's completely tax-free as long as you take the money out and use it for medical expenses.
So I think this is a really great investment strategy, right? So oftentimes we get people who are maxing out on their 401k and they're like, you know, what else can I be doing? I've got more money to put away. You know, I want to do more. Putting your money in this type of HSA account
will be very suitable for you later on in life, right? For you, for your family, when it comes to your health needs. And as Alan mentioned, like it has the ability to grow. And so that growth is not taxable.
Yeah.
So y'all are always trying to run away from the IRS. Here's a way to run away from the IRS and make sure that you have the money that you need to be properly taken care of later in life.
Yeah, especially if they need nursing homes, they got a lot of co-pays down the road. Like this is one of those sleeper accounts that can really grow to be worth a lot of money over time. So one other benefit to this account that I think we really have to talk about is what happens to the money if you don't use it for medical expenses, right? So once you're over the age of 65, you can take this money out just like a regular IRA account.
There you go.
And now you've got a backdoor retirement account.
There you go. That's been growing and that you've been making money on all of this time. And as Alan mentioned, you might be, you know, healthy as hell. You just are doing well.
You see what I'm saying?
And you don't need all that. You can now use that money however way you want to use that money. So again, I think it's a part of an investment strategy. Maybe this is something that you should be talking to your financial advisor about if you have one, or you should be seeking out a financial advisor to make sure that you have a full comprehensive strategy that's focusing on not only your investments for when you retire, but your quality of life. What will life look like on the other side, regardless of what state you're in physically when that time comes?
And you can add a beneficiary to your HSA account. So this is like a triple win account. You get tax-free growth, just like a Roth IRA. You get a tax break when you put the money in. You get tax-free growth if you use the money for medical expenses. You get to use the money without any penalties if you're over the age of 65 and it's not for medical expenses. And you can put a beneficiary on there, and the beneficiary can use it for their own purposes in the future, or even to pay some of your final expenses medical related. So this is a great little account that if your parents are still working and they're not contributing to it, you should make sure that they're doing that. I love it. So finally, as we wrap up today, we should talk about two more things. First is their home. Like, yeah. What do they do with the home? Like, should they downsize the home? Should they move into an apartment?
Possibly. But the first thing you want to do is ask them, how much do you owe on this house? Like, you want to get an understanding on, because if this is passed down to you, you do want to understand how much you are responsible for covering. You know, what's the mortgage? Is the mortgage too much for you? As Alan mentioned, are we going to need to downsize because you guys won't be able to afford this home once you retire? Or as you mentioned, maybe you can afford it just fine, but it's just too big. It's too much to take care of. So you want to have the home conversation. Don't push these people out their home. That's not what we're saying. But have an understanding around if the home is responsible, if it's a responsible expense for them as they get older. Again, how much do they owe on the home? How much is the mortgage? My mother right now is looking to refinance. And I'm like, why? Like, you've had this house forever. Like, it's almost, you know, paid off. And then she told me her interest rate. I was like, God, like, yes, let's do this. Like, let's get this done immediately. Ask your parents, like, you know, what's your interest rate on the house? And if they say something crazy, maybe you do need to get involved and refinance. And maybe again, you refinance it differently. Maybe it's in someone else's name, but you want to have the house conversation. You don't want to push your parents outside their house. You want to know what's going on, and you want to make a plan for, all right, so once you guys are not working anymore, are y'all out of here? Are y'all staying here? If you're in a position where you can't take care of yourself anymore, do you want us to move you out of this house? Like, what are we going to do with this home? What do you want to happen to the home?
And right now, home prices are super high. So, like, if you're going to sell a house, like, now's a great time to be doing it.
And interest rates are really low.
For sure, for sure. And on that note, there's another strategy that we've never done for anyone, but we've always kept it in our back pocket. It's the idea of doing a reverse mortgage. A reverse mortgage is when you basically say, give me a loan right now for my equity. And it could be a big lump sum, or it could be monthly payments. The downside to it is that this is money that your heirs are going to lose, right? Like, any money that you take out now, your heirs will not receive. But it can be a great way of getting some additional quality of life, some additional funds at the end of life. And so a reverse mortgage works for anyone that's over the age of 62, and they have to have at least 50% equity in their home. Just something to keep in your back pocket. Read up on reverse mortgages. The final thing we'll talk about is Social Security. And Tiffany, we started the show with this. Understand how Social Security works so that your parents are not in a bad spot on Social Security.
Also, Social Security is not like this just mythical thing that's out there. I will be honest with you. I was extremely shocked when I figured out how easy it was to find out what my Social Security benefit is. Like, I was extremely shocked. Like, I thought you had to get in, call your CPA, run all these type of numbers.
Nope.
Call the IRS. You literally just go to a website and put your information in, and it tells you. It's not like a projection or a calculator. It tells you your exact amount of your Social Security benefit.
Here's a quick lesson on Social Security. For most adults, their full retirement age is either 66 or 67. For most people, it's now 67 if you haven't started taking Social Security yet. The earliest you can take it is 62. The latest you can take it is 70. So if your full age is 67, but you elect to take it at 62, they give you a really steep discount on what your Social Security benefit is. And if you're still working, they reduce your benefit even more. So if your parents want to take Social Security at 62, but they still enjoy going to work every day, you might want to advise them to wait until 67 to take Social Security. Because for every year that you wait, it goes up by about 8%. So if your parents love working, let them work until 70 and then take Social Security, and they're getting the maximum that they're eligible for.
But also, again, go on to the website and help them figure out if they don't already know. I know they say they send out these statements. I ain't never received one of these Social Security statements personally.
They haven't sent them in about 10 years.
Yeah, but you can go online. It literally takes probably 60 seconds for them to understand what their Social Security benefit is, and you guys can start planning around that. It will help you. That was necessary for me in helping my mom plan her retirement projection to say, hey, guess what? You can retire right now if you feel like it, but you will know this is how much is going to be coming into the house.
And one last Social Security secret that most people don't know, but everybody appreciates knowing, if one spouse in a marriage worked and one didn't, it's not that the one who didn't work gets no Social Security. You can file and get your value set at 50% of what your working spouse's Social Security was. So if your spouse qualifies for $3,000 and you never worked a day in your life, you can get $1,500. And that's without any complication. It's simply a rule inside of Social Security. So take some time, call the Social Security Administration with your folks, or go on the website. I think it's a lot simpler. Figure it out. Make sure that they're not wasting money.
100%. And if it makes it even easier, why don't you just sit down with your parents and turn on this podcast?
Ooh.
It might help have this conversation.
Because you love your parents and we do too.
Absolutely. So we'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, PayLater, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.